Our scripture reading this morning will be Hebrews chapter 10, verses 36 through 39. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 36 through 39. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come, and will not delay. But my righteousness one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul.
You have need of endurance. One might call it perseverance. Someone else might call it steadfastness or even patience. But there's one thing that we know. We all need it. We know that very little of significant value in this life is achieved apart from perseverance. In his evaluation as a football coach, an older football coach wrote these words. He said he possesses minimal knowledge of football, lacks motivation. His name was Vince Lombardi, the one after whom the Lombardi Trophy is named, and the trophy given to the best professional football player following the Super Bowl, given to the best team, Vince Lombardi. His parents said that he had no voice at all. In fact, that he just cannot sing. And they believed the report of the teacher and encouraged him to become an engineer. The man's name was Enrico Caruso, one of the greatest Italian operatic tenors, I guess, in all time. He was dismissed by a newspaper, and the reason given for firing him was that he had a lack of any good ideas. His name was Walt Disney. His teacher said, he's too stupid to do anything. That's kind of a harsh statement. But he became known as the greatest inventor in the history of America. Over 1,000 patents, including the practical use of the incandescent light bulb. And I suppose we go on and on listing person after person, men and women, young people as well, of people who, because of their perseverance, endured situations and were able to accomplish great things. And so, in our examination of the Christian graces, we have seen so far how we need to apply all diligence to our faith and add to it virtue, and to our virtue, knowledge, and to our knowledge, self-control. 2 Peter chapter 1. And today we turn our attention to the next of those graces, perseverance. Why would perseverance be added to self-control? One writer said, only those with discipline, who discipline themselves, are able to patiently endure the trials of life. Perseverance. And so we're going to use a familiar formula. If you've been following along, you know that we have really divided these lessons up in a way that's complicated. We're going to talk about what it is. What is it? Why is it important? And then thirdly, what does it look like? So what is perseverance? Perseverance is translated from a term in the original language that means to remain behind or to remain under. Perseverance was a very popular, prized virtue in the Greek culture because of its connection to the realm of athletics and the use of the word also in military jargon. And for example, in athletics, this word would be used to remain under, as in a weightlifter holding a weight up. To remain under, like remaining under the load. It was used in military terms of someone who remained behind, who would not flee in terror at the assault of the enemy forces, but would remain behind. It's a word that has an element of courage to it. A.T. Robertson describes it as staying power. And then, of course, you've heard preachers probably talk about, we got to keep on keeping on. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about perseverance. It's not a passive quality, it's an active quality. A more complete definition is that perseverance is the virtue needed to stand firm in one's commitment to Jesus over the long haul in the face of persecution or other hardships. Perseverance. In the Old Testament, the concept of perseverance is expressed by a word that means to stand. The idea of standing firm is the concept of endurance. If you remember in Exodus chapter 14, the Israelites were standing by the Red Sea. The cliffs of Baal-zephon were next to them as well. And the Egyptian army was fast approaching. And the people were wilting in their fear. One of the Psalms says that they were rebelling. They cried out against Moses, why are you brought us out here just to die? And Moses responded, and he said, do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. Now, the New American Standard has a footnote on the side, the marginal note, rather, that indicates that this could be translated, take your stand. Do not fear. Take your stand and see the salvation of the Lord. That's what we mean by perseverance. Take your stand. Stand firm. A couple more practical thoughts about perseverance. From the Truth for Today commentary makes this comment. The word Peter chose designates longevity, steadiness, and steadfast endurance. It is a quality that gets the Christians through discouragements, calls them back from temptations, and helps them continue in the faith they have professed. Perseverance. Jesus expects us to endure to the end. Matthew 10:22. Jesus requires us to be faithful until death. Revelation 2:10. We must persevere, continue on. Someone has described the Christian life in these terms. He says the Christian's life is like a steady, shining star, not like a blazing meteor across the sky. It keeps going. It keeps burning brightly. Perseverance is the power to stand under hardship and stress, the inner fortitude that we need to get the job that needs to be done. Winston Churchill became famous during the days of World War II when things were looking bleak because of his steady influence, encouraging the people, never give up, never give up. Perseverance is the umph that makes a triumph. And what gets us going and helps us to be victorious in this life. So why is perseverance important? We want to look at it from two standpoints, basically. From a standpoint of looking into the future and then a standpoint of looking at the present. Perseverance is important because of what it says about our future. One writer said that perseverance is far-sighted endurance. We read in Hebrews 10:36, you have need of endurance so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. You're looking forward to receiving the promise. James 1 verse 12 says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he'll receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Again, looking toward the future. Perseverance is strongly connected to our hope for the future. In Romans chapter 5, the Apostle Paul kind of sets down a sequence of events, an orderly development of perseverance and hope. And in that passage he says, and not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that our tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. So why would we rejoice in tribulation? Because tribulations bring about perseverance. That's exactly what James was saying in the first chapter of his epistle in James 1, 2 through 4. He says we need to rejoice in various trials that the testing of our faith may produce endurance. We want that perseverance in our life. Enduring persecution or enduring tribulation tests our character. It develops our character, rather, which in turn produces the kind of hope that we need that does not disappoint. So we look into the future, that perseverance has this element of forward thinking into the future. But then we also have to realize that that hope out there also inspires our perseverance, which is kind of interesting because it sounds like we're saying the opposite thing. But in Romans chapter 8, verse 24, Paul said, for in hope we have been saved. But hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes in what he already sees? But if we hope for that which we do not see, with perseverance we wait for it. Now, that's kind of a conditional statement here, an if-then prospect. He says, if we hope, which is have this earnest expectation, if we hope, then, he says, we eagerly wait with perseverance. So on the one hand, tribulation produces hope. But on the other hand, hope inspires perseverance. Kind of like it goes both ways. They're reciprocal in nature. Another passage is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning in verse number 2. Paul writes, We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our God and Father. Paul's beginning his letter, and as he's beginning his letter, he uses this triad of wonderful virtues and characteristics of the brethren at Thessalonica and says, I'm thanking God always for these things. And as you examine those three things together, what you discover is that they say something about our hope. He talks about their work of faith, meaning that their work sprang forth from their faith. Their work was inspired by their faith, right? And he talks about their labor of love, which means that their labor sprang out of their love. It was inspired by their love. And since those two things are taken in that way, the third also applies. When he says steadfastness, which is the word for perseverance, steadfastness of hope, that our perseverance is inspired by our hope. Our hope keeps us going, keeps us moving forward in our faith. a second thing we want to look at concerning perseverance and why it's important is because of the present. Perseverance, as we said, indicates the presence of hope. A persevering Christian is a Christian who is filled with hope. So which comes first, as we said, hope or perseverance? On the one hand, hope is a result of our perseverance, and on the other hand, we persevere because of our hope. Sometimes we're tempted to think that, you know, if I could just have the hope, if I could just see the hope, the light at the end of the tunnel, then I could persevere. Then I could hang in there. But the Word of God also says that if we hang in there, if we persevere, if we stick it out, we'll be blessed with a glorious hope. So it goes both ways. The two qualities work together. We need perseverance one way or the other. We need to persevere. And where do we get that? Does it come from within us? Is it up to us to persevere by ourselves? Do we pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, so to speak? Yeah, there are things that we need to do to cooperate with God in this. But I think we need to notice that perseverance is something that is given to us by God. How do I know that? Well, the Bible says it in Romans 15, verse 5. Paul writes, "Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another in Christ." Now may the God who gives, what does he give? He gives perseverance and he gives encouragement. So we know that comes from the Lord, right? In Ephesians 6, before he mentions the gospel armor, in verse number 10 he says, "Finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might." When he says be strong in the Lord, he is using passive voice, indicating that the strength is coming from without into us. And it's not our own strength, but it's God who supplies the strength. So we know that God gives us perseverance. A second thing we notice is that perseverance comes through the teaching of God's Word. In that passage we mentioned a few moments ago, in Romans 15, this time verse 4, the Bible says, "Whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." When we go to God's Word, we can find the power to persevere. By looking at the examples of the prophets and the examples of the men of God and the women of God of old, we can be strengthened to keep on keeping on. So we get strength from God, but His strength comes to us through His teaching. It also comes to us, as we've already mentioned, through tribulation. We say, "God, give me perseverance." The answer to that prayer may be a trial, a tribulation, a persecution, because that's how He said that it can bring about this perseverance. And then finally, God gives us perseverance through our brothers and sisters in Christ. We encourage each other, right? Encourage each other for what reason? So that we might persevere. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 talks about the comfort that God gives us and how that comfort that we receive, we give to others to comfort them. And in that context, he mentions that they may patiently endure. So the endurance as a result of the comfort we provide to one another is one way that we receive perseverance. Encourage one another. That's what the Bible says. I could list three or four or five or six of those passages, but over and over, a theme throughout the New Testament is encourage one another day after day as you see the day approaching. Encourage one another in so many different ways. Why? Because we need to persevere. We need to be built up. We need to withstand trials and tribulations and withstand temptations that threaten our spiritual well-being. So the Christian is a person with hope. Perseverance provides that hope in the present life. But perseverance also provides blessing. The word blessed is used by Brother James in James 1 verse 12. He says, blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. Blessed. You're going through a trial, you're blessed for that. If you persevere, if you handle it, why? Because you're going to receive a crown of life as the Lord has promised to all those who love him. A persevering saint is a happy saint. Blessed is a little bit more than just happy, I realize. Some have defined it as especially favored. So when you say blessed is a man who is being persecuted, who is persevering under trial, as it were, and you say, well, that means he is specially favored. Specially favored in what way? Specially favored that he is being persecuted. Specially favored in that he is going through a trial or a tribulation. And we say, wait a minute, how could that be specially favored? Only in the sense that God is now working in that person's life, working through that trial or that tribulation to produce endurance or perseverance in their life so that they can be faithful to God and in the end receive the crown of life. James calls the reader's attention to Job, the patriarch. And in that book of James, in chapter 5 and verse 11, he says, we count those blessed who endured, favored because they endured. Who is he talking about? Well, he's talking about the prophets in an earlier verse, but now he says, you have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. So in this present life, now looking forward to the future is great, but in this present life, right now, we have hope through perseverance. And right now, in this present life, we have a blessed state of mind, a happiness that the world cannot take away. And as we begin looking at that, then we say, well, then I probably ought to be pursuing perseverance. I ought to be developing it. If I do, then how is that going to impact my here and now, my present reality? One thing is, perseverance is going to be characterized by the doing of good works. If you're a persevering disciple, you'll be active in doing the things that God wants you to do. Now, Paul wrote to Romans in chapter 2 of that book. He mentions two classes of people. He mentions those who despise the kindness of God, just can't stand the idea of repentance, and these will have their penalty. But then later in that same chapter, he describes those who have perseverance in doing good work, and that they seek for glory and immortality and honor, and then says in verse 7 that he will give them eternal life. Why? Because they are persevering in doing good. And because they're persevering in doing good work, it shows that they're seeking after honor and glory and immortality. This is what Paul is saying in a familiar passage in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Always abound in the work of the Lord. What is that if it is not perseverance? Always abounding in the word of the Lord, in the work of the Lord. Perseverance. Knowing your toil is not in vain in the Lord. What is that if it's not hope? Perseverance and hope in that same passage. Paul said it the same way, in another way in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11. He writes Timothy and he says, but flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. There's a whole family of virtues here that Timothy is supposed to be pursuing. But among them is perseverance. And connected with that, in addition to love and faith and gentleness and so forth, is righteousness. Righteousness, the doing of that which is right, the doing of good works, we might say, is connected to perseverance. A lot of times when passages talk about perseverance, they're talking about persevering under persecution, persevering under adversity and hardship. But when Peter writes about perseverance in 2 Peter, his primary concern is that they persevere, listen carefully, in the midst of false teachers and false teaching. False teachers who are advocating that Christians set aside all moral restraint, follow a life of sensuality, following after their lusts, after their sinful desires. They called it freedom, 2 Peter 2:19. Peter called it slavery. But we must pursue righteousness and persevere. And the big begging question is, why? Why do we pursue it? Because of our hope, right? Because of our hope that Jesus is coming again and he will receive us unto himself and take us home. And because of that hope, we persevere. And in our perseverance, we practice righteousness and good works. So why were the false teachers of Peter's day so strongly opposed to what Peter was saying about the second coming? Why had they resorted to mocking and saying, where is the promise of his coming? All things continue as they were from the beginning. They disparaged the second coming of Christ for one simple reason. If you believe in the second coming of Christ, then you must practice perseverance in the hope of what will happen in the next life. And the practice of that perseverance involves living by God's standards of morality. And this they did not want to do. Listen, Jesus is coming again. The elements will melt with intense heat. The earth and its works will be burned up. And then Peter says, simply in asking the question, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? See, the basis of our morality is that hope. And so we persevere because of that hope. Certainly our motivation to live this kind of perseverance, I think, is summed up in the words of W. Oliver Cooper, who wrote that song, "Heaven will surely be worth it all, worth all the sorrow that here befall. After this life with all its strife, heaven will surely be worth it all." Third question, what does perseverance look like? And as we rapidly draw the lesson to a close now, in the Old Testament, we would say that perseverance looked like Job. Maybe one of the prophets, but Job really stands out in my mind. Here is a man who is described as blessed because he endured, James 5:11. He is faithful to God in spite of extreme pain and sorrow. He's blameless. He is upright. He feared God. He turned away from evil. And yet at the bequest of Satan, he suffered unbelievable agony, losing all of his possessions, all of his children, even his physical health was severely impaired. Finally, as his bewilderment began to turn to bitterness, God intervened, and with all the questions that he asked, and Job acknowledged the wisdom and character of God. And after he prayed for his friends, then God restored to him and made things as better for him than they were in the beginning in so many ways. In the New Testament, our answer to the question about what does perseverance look like, we would be amiss if we did not mention the Apostle Paul. Here's a story of a man whose conversion is outstanding. Someone who was an enemy of the cross, number one enemy, actually, who became a Christian and then was persecuted like none other for the cross of Christ that he followed. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 11 and verse 23, the Holy Spirit writes a list of his circumstances that required perseverance. He said, "Are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane, I more so, in far more labors, in far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I was received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, in dangers from robbers, and dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers from the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from such external things, there is a daily pressure of me of concern for all the churches." Man, Paul could write from experience about perseverance, couldn't he? Now, his situation didn't turn out quite the same as Job's situation, but there's still the element of hope involved as he concludes his letter to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4. "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, not to me only, but unto all those who have loved his appearing." There's the positive aspect of it. But the greatest, the ultimate example of perseverance is Jesus. Perseverance, like all of the other attributes, is seen in the life of Christ. In Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 2, as we run our own race of endurance, we're told to fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And consider him who has endured such hostility of sinners against himself, so that you may not grow weary and lose heart. Consider Jesus. When he suffered for doing what is right, Peter tells us that we ought to follow in his footsteps. He left an example for us. 1 Peter 2, verse 21. "He committed no sin. No deceit was found in his mouth. While being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to the one who judges righteously. And he bore himself In himself, he bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds we are healed. You were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your soul." Jesus, that's what perseverance looks like. So, brethren, stick with it. Don't give up. Hang in there, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what has been promised. If you've given up, if you're hanging on by a thread, if you need the prayers of the church to be restored, to be strengthened, to be revived, we invite you to respond this morning. If you have never obeyed or acknowledged the name of Christ and have been united with him in the watery grave of baptism to be raised up and walk in newness of life, if we can help you to complete that act of obedience of faith, we invite you to come while we stand and while we sing.